2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good morning, everybody. This is your DFS Army Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com, and I am your host, Boomer's Daddy, welcoming back my buddy, main man, getting me away from baseball during the All-Star break,
Scotty.
How you doing, buddy?
I am hot.
I don't even want to hear you complain about being hot.
Oh, come on. This is... The heat index here with humidity and everything the other day was 104, and it is just thicker than shit outside, and I'm trying to do vehicles and do signs and stickers and shit, and I had to take a shower like midday yesterday. I couldn't stand it.
I yawn
it.
At your heat index with humidity at 104 and tell you to just come down to Oklahoma.
Well,
just come down to Oklahoma.
Dude, I'm from Wisconsin. I'm built for cold weather. Like, I am not a skinny guy. I'm not fat. I'm not a big dude. But let's just say there's a little winter blubber left. So
just come to Oklahoma. That's all I got to say. Just come to Oklahoma, and we'll talk about that.
Can I see Carrie Underwood?
She doesn't live here anymore.
Ah,
she lives in that.
Shit. That's right.
Although, full disclosure, I was dating a girl that went to NSU the whole time that she was going through the time that she was going through American Idol, and they would have like watch parties and everything every single time, and half the people that were there didn't even know her, and they were like, "Oh my God, I know Carrie Underwood." Ah! So. Whatever. Whenever she comes home to actually do a concert, it's pretty nasty. Like, not like nasty in a bad way. Like, she's the only one that I've gone and seen multiple times, and oh my God, yeah. So, but she's actually married to a hockey player now.
Yes, I was going to mention that earlier, and I actually know her fiddle player, so I went to high school with him, but,
cool.
Yeah, he's a good dude, but...
So, yeah, Carrie Underwood here is a big deal.
Well, understandably so. So, I want to just add a little humor in here, and just tell everyone how my golf game...
We have no time for nonsense and humor.
Oh,
We've got all the time for nonsense.
So I'm in a golf league on Tuesday nights, and I cannot golf to save my life this year. I don't know what the hell happened. I cannot hit anything. So I go last night. I'm just like, maybe today will be the day that it changes around. And off the first tee, I kind of shanked my drive, but it didn't go too far into trouble. I thought I'd be hitting over some trees. I got up to my ball. I'm about 100 yards away from the green, and I got to hit over these tall willow trees, over a pond, and this is just tin cup style, but I'm way closer than he was, granted. So I take my pitching wedge out, and I hit it up over the trees, felt great, poosh, right in the end of the pond by the green. I'm like, all right, I know I can make that shot. So then I drop one, hit another one. Whoosh, same thing right into the pond. I do this three times. And finally, I'm just like, all right, I might as well just hit out of here because this will never end. So I hit it out into the fairway, and then my next shot, I hit it like 3 feet from the cup. I'm like, why didn't I not just do that? I didn't have the same tin cup ending, but I sure stunk it up on the first hole. And I ended up golfing a 62 on nine holes, and that – I don't even want to play anymore.
You know that comes out to like 124 on.
Oh yeah, I can add.
not to you know make you sound even worse than what you normally do, but it's yeah, unfortunately the life of a DFS player and now the life of a DFS dad, you don't get to you would think that, you know, I can make my own schedule and stuff. And when it was just me, just worrying about me, then, yeah, you know, I could go out, play 9 holes real quick or around 18 and early in the morning, then get back, do some research, and go. Now with producing content and everything, which I love, by the way. I wouldn't change it for the world. I don't get to enjoy the links as much as I wish I could. Some of our friends had – basically their 5-year anniversary since the day they started dating, which is funny because me and my wife had that same anniversary 2 weeks before and we didn't really celebrate that much just because I think when you get married, you know, your anniversary is your wedding date, not the day you started dating.
Right.
You know, that's before you get married. But
every once in a while, we went, you know, if your wife throws out that, oh, you know what today is? Like,
oh, she did that.
Fucking Tuesday? I don't, like, what is
yeah.
it? Like, I know
she
it's not our anniversary.
That, but...
like, oh, well, it's like, you know, a year and 3 months. Like, it's, you know, oh, no, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah, she did that. She's like, you know, we had our first date 5 years ago. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't get you anything. She goes, that's okay, I didn't get you anything either. She goes, I didn't even realize it until Facebook told me. I was like, okay, good. We went out to a place called the Flying T, and it's like it's a real driving range, but it tracks out all your balls with GPS, and it's got 3 different levels, and you can play different golf courses and stuff on like that. And it's really, really, really cool. Well, we get out there and we're playing for an hour and stuff, and you know, everything's fine. And then all of a sudden I hit drive and the ball goes about 250 and the club head goes about 75. So I get to get a new driver.
Hey, there is an upside to that. See?
Yes, there is an upside to that.
And you get to pick it out.
Yes, I do.
So
if it was my wife that broke it, I wish it would have been my wife that broke it, because then I would have been like, oh,
I loved that
now
driver.
I'm really going to get into it. So,
how
but,
could you do that to my driver? I love that.
Exactly. Anyways, we've got week 4 of the CFL that kicks off tonight. It does kick off a day early. Hopefully that means that there will be some people that forget and there will be some massive overlay. Should be a lot of fun, and we are here for your game-by-game breakdown analysis. Let's get it started on get it started off right. Ottawa Red Blacks, Toronto Maple Leafs. Oh, wait, this is hockey. This is not hockey. Sorry. Oh, wow. Can you tell I've been out of the DFS realm for a little while?
Yeah, well, you know, understandably so. I mean, it's a damn all-star break for baseball, so you're, you know, I don't blame you. I really do not blame you. And I honestly, camping trip last week and getting back on the weekend and trying to deal with camping stuff, like getting it put away and then starting to catch up on work again, it was just like, okay. I didn't even get my article out till like 2 o'clock this morning, so it's, I don't blame you. I'm in the same boat.
There you go. Ottawa Red Blacks versus the Toronto Argonauts. And this total is at a 52.5. The juice is on the over. Vegas is getting a little bit smart. They're trying not to make these lines massive. So what they've done is made this game basically a pick 'em. And, yeah, this should be a lot of fun. We've got some, obviously we've got Trevor Harris and Ricky Ray going at each other. I'm very interested to see kind of how this Toronto Argonauts, defense handles Trevor Harris, because if you look at it over his game logs, it's been kind of a gradual, steady incline the first 2 weeks about, passing attempts. Except for the fact that against Edmonton, where he comes in and goes 17 for 19 for, you know, almost 300 yards and three touchdowns because of the fact that the dude in front of him got hurt.
Yeah, in a quarter and a half.
Yeah, in a quarter and a half. And you're sitting there going, well, he could do that again next week. And then next week he just comes out and does, you know, 20 for 26 for, you know, 395 and three. I think, you know, obviously he's got to be the number one quarterback on the slate again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nobody's slowing him down yet, so I don't see any reason to not roster him. And he's affordable.
Yeah, I don't see the Argos actually, you know, I don't see the Argos doing that at all.
No, and there is a revenge narrative too, because Harris did play for Toronto last year, so.
Yes, he did. So, I mean, we know this guy's talented. We know how good he is. 50 pass attempts, 39 completions last game, almost 400 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. In case you have not been able to count, or in case I need to help you, my math might be a little bit off, but that is nine touchdowns to one interception. That is a fantastic, fantastic TD to INT ratio.
Yeah, and he's got a great weapon in Chris Williams, and Sinopoli is just right there with him. They're both the target monsters for Ottawa, and I honestly don't see it stopping this week. I just think they're gonna slug it out.
Yeah, and in true Canadian fashion, only their football games can end in a tie. Oh wait, the NFL can too.
Oh yeah,
jackasses. That's like kissing your sister. So, anyways, yeah, I don't see how Trevor Harris isn't the top overall number one quarterback of the slate. The good thing about it is that you know, you don't have to really worry about you know, figuring out exactly where his targets are going to go, because you've got Sinopoli, you've got Ellis Ellingson, and you've got Chris Williams, and that's pretty much where your work's going to go. So, not a bad game stack tonight. It's going to be a fun game to watch. Believe it or not, this is not the highest total of the week.
No, it's not. I think is it the next one we're going to talk about?
Yep.
The Edmonton and Winnipeg?
Yep. So
I don't really think there's much on Toronto that I don't know. Let me check here, double check. Ricky Ray's a GPP play. I mean, Ottawa's not, they're not good on defense.
I know, that's kind of what I was
so
thinking.
I mean, if you want to try a tournament stack with Ricky Ray and, you know, you want to put Brandon Whitaker in there at running back. He's only 6,100 and I think he's going to be pretty low owned. I know he was last week still. He's been producing. He's involved in the passing game.
Yeah, I've given up trying to figure out where people are going to go as far as, you know, I think Grigsby and LaFrance are both in play. I'm not going down the Anthony Combs way again. I did that in week one, and it bit me in the ass. So
then we're left with Hazelton and Gurley from Toronto. They're stackable with Ray. They're both the same price, I believe.
I actually think that you know, if you're going to go with a game stack and kind of hope for a higher scoring game, and you know, in GPPs, put you know your money on. I know I'll have this done on one team where I'm going to stack this game and hope that it just shoots out. You know, I'll have some exposure to some other games and stuff as well, but I think I'm going to stack this game once and hope that it just goes completely bonkers, and that the other games don't live up to the bill, or the next game doesn't live up to the bill. So I think that's a good tournament strategy as well, but it would only be a strategy if you're making multiple teams.
Oh yeah, for sure. And there's a slight punt in Larry Tate for Toronto. He's their return guy. He's probably not going to get involved in any of the offense, but if this thing, you know, if there's a lot of kickoffs, punts, and whatnot, you know, if he breaks one, I mean, he's only 3,400, so it's something to keep in mind too.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the cool things is that, you know, when you sit there and you think about it, if you, like, I'll have five different teams this week, and this is the first week I'm going multiple teams, past two anyways, into tournaments. I'll probably have this game sprinkled in through all five teams, but I'll definitely have a Ottawa stack and then a Toronto stack and then a full game stack in there somewhere, because I only like the quarterbacks from the first two games. So, I mean, I know we'll get to the other ones as well, and maybe you can help sway me from those decisions, but that's kind of what I'm thinking of right now.
Yeah, as far as quarterbacks, I don't think I will, but maybe there's some other plays that I can mention too. So,
awesome. All right, let's go to Edmonton. Edmonton, whatever.
Eskimos.
And the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Edmonton's favored by 3.5. This total is at a 54.5 with the juice on the over. And we were kind of talking a little bit about this before the show. This basically means that Vegas thinks that this game is going to shoot over. This is where I would put it. Man, John White looked really, really, really good last week.
He looked really good against Ottawa in week one, too. I mean,
yes, he did.
They're definitely showing, put it this way, he's going to get the ball. Winnipeg is ranked 8th against the rush as far as CFL goes, and 6th against the pass, and he's involved in both of them. And he's 7,500. He's second highest priced running back on the slate, and I have no problems playing him. I think I have him even as one of my elite players. So,
yeah, and he's priced like an elite running back. And we said it last week. We're going to say it again this week. Guys, we're end zone hunting for running backs with the CFL. They don't get near as many attempts as they do in the NFL. Although if you could get, you know, what was it, 21 touches, you know, you'll be happy with that. He did have a fumble last week, but you know, that's going to happen from time to time.
You see a lot more of that in the CFL with fumbles too, I've noticed, because I just
the talent is not as good, and at least that's what the NFL is trying to sell, is the talent's not as good there or anything else like that. I'm not gonna
not start somebody just because they fumble though.
Yeah, I mean, fumbles are unpredictable. Now, if you start to become like fumbleitis, like Mr. Fumble, then we've got a problem. But the thing I like about John White is he's also involved in the passing game as well.
Yeah, and then you've also got Bowman and Walker, and everybody's on Bowman. Like everybody I've talked to, Twitter, just in the inner CFL circle, basically, everybody's on Bowman, and for good reason. I mean, the guy is just a freak, but I mean, Walker is.
That's how we breed him down here in Oklahoma.
Walker's $700 less, and nobody's talking about him. You know, and I think if you're going to stack this game, you're going to want to try to get Riley in with both of those guys. And I think if you're going to multi-entry, you're going to want to do some. I mean, you're going to want to split your ownership right down the middle, I think, between Bowman and Walker. Maybe even a little more on Walker if you're in the tournament. But
it depends, because, I mean, this Winnipeg defense is not good, but is Darius Bowman becoming one of those players where all you have to do is just kind of key on him, like just like double him and make somebody else beat you? Has he gotten to that point? Or do they even think that way in the CFL?
Yeah, you're going to see it this week, I think, and you're going to see it with Ottawa with Chris Williams. I think he's going to, you know, they're going to try to double team him. But the thing about him is he's built different than Bowman too. I mean, Chris Williams is like 5'7".
Oh yeah,
he's just little and he's fast.
Adarius Bowman is a freak of nature. If any of you guys remember watching college football, or even remember watching NFL football, Justin Blackmon You talk about some of the devastating wide receivers to come out of Oklahoma State, and Adarius Bowman is up there with Justin Blackmon and Dez Bryant. I mean, that's how much he was cherished here in Oklahoma when he was with the Cowboys, is he was that type of freak of nature built and talent.
What did happen with him with the NFL? Did
Justin Blackmon?
No.
Or Adarius Bowman? I have no idea.
Just obviously.
I honestly don't. I don't know if he... I don't know. But I promise you, if he keeps putting up numbers like this, he's going to get a look.
Oh, yeah.
So, because he's not that far removed.
He could have just needed some more practice, basically, you know?
Yeah.
Better fundamentals, route running and stuff like that, because I know they're really huge on that in the NFL.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of one of those things that you sit there and you look at. I mean, when you've got guys like Dez Bryant and Justin Blackmon that are just like we said, freaks of nature, they get a lot of the work. And Adarius Bowman was right there with them, but he just didn't he wasn't getting as much work as those other guys. So, I don't mind. I mean, you're going to have to find some value if you're going to put Mike Riley and Adarius Bowman in, because you're talking about over $21,000 worth of salary. But I think it can be done. And if you do accomplish that, especially if you're going to put it in with Darrell Walker, I mean, if you click those three guys in there just as your basis, you're looking at, you know, $4,700 per player, and you've still got four players to fill.
Exactly. And you're not going to be able to get Chris Williams in there either. And I still think Chris Williams is unfadeable. But
yeah, I think some people would say that Adarius Bowman's probably unfadeable.
Yeah, I've heard that in conversations too. You know, but from this game, I mean, the defenses are not good. So,
nah,
I mean, I can see what Vegas is thinking with this. And
yep.
I mean, I talked about it with some people already, but even Drew Willey, I love him in this game at 9,000, and you can stack him with Jace Davis, who is only 4,300, and I don't know why they haven't risen his salary yet, but I'm not mad about it. And,
nope.
You know, it's
so you can put him with Andrew Harris and
Andrew Harris.
You know,
yep.
You can put him with Darvin Adams as well.
Yep. And you've got a great stack going there.
Yep.
For cheap.
And then you can put in Adarius Bowman and Darrell Walker. And, I mean, you're talking about a full game stack. So, that's probably where I'm going to go with this, is I'm going to go with a full game stack, on these first two games and mix and match, throughout the, most of your offensive plays. And don't be fooled, guys. Most of your ownership is going to come from these two games as well, as far as tournaments is concerned. But I think one of the things that we've got to look at is, you know, we talk a lot about and viewing ownership and going through ownership is different for, you know, football than it is for, you know, baseball. Baseball, I don't want anything more than, you know, 15% of my hitters and 20% of my pitchers. I don't mind going a couple places chalk in the NFL or in football, as long as that chalk is like mega chalk, because I can find low ownership players other places.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely see your point there. It's not as important as in baseball, I don't think.
Right, because the variance isn't as large.
Right.
In NFL, or in, we can't even say NFL anymore, in football.
Yeah.
So the variance is, I mean, it's more predictable. So we don't have to worry about it quite as much, and it's not as, you know, it's more punishing to fade the best plays in football than it is in baseball, because variance is not nearly as high, so.
So you got anything else from Winnipeg? I'm not really seeing anything else on my sheet here.
I definitely don't want their defense. I know that much.
Oh, no.
It's, you know, and as far as defenses in the CFL, you know, they're all going to give up points. It's just that we want those, you know, I think we talked about this last week, that we want the ones that are going to get sacks and turnovers and, it, you know.
Although, we did completely miss that one because we expected Hamilton to kind of run through roughshod over this defense. And showed up.
They did. I mean, but you're going to have that once in a while. I mean, I blame a lot of that one on Masoli, though. I mean, Masoli is – he's not afraid to air it out, and he does not always hit where he's going to throw either. So,
yeah, that was one of his knocks coming out of Oregon, was the fact that he was so inaccurate with the football. Let's go on to Hamilton and Montreal. The Ticats defense is still one of the best plays of the week. That's why they're the highest salary of the week, and I have no problems going back to them as well. You are going to have to find some value to go in there, and we have a lot of it in this game, especially on the running back side with C.J. Cable. C.J. Gable, not Cable. Jeez Louise.
Still got your cereal in your mouth?
No, I don't. Although the Ticats, they don't use the running game a lot. You know, it's one of those things. This is a close spread, and there might be some more work in there for running backs, especially if you can get a running back with return upside, and he does have some return yards this year.
Well, Montreal is ranked dead last in rush defense.
That was another reason why
This is one of these things. Like, I've talked about C.J. Gable every week in my article. I'm like, oh, his salary keeps going down. Well, what do you do when their salary keeps going down and you're on him? I was on him at 6,500 against Toronto. Okay, now he's 5,200. He's all the way down to 5,200. I'd be a dumbass if I didn't play him in some roster, you know, because I know one of these times he's going to score. And I'm going to look like a fool because I'm like, oh, I was on him at 6,500 and I didn't play him at 52. So, and against the worst ranked rush defense.
Yeah, it's
just that he's not getting the carries. That's the problem. And he's not getting receptions in the receiving game. He's got three on the year in three games, and he's got 25 carries for like
38 yards.
Yeah. 126.
I was about to say, wait a second.
25 for 126 and 3 for 15 in the receiving game. So.
Yeah.
If he gets in the end zone on top of that, that changes it a little, but I still.
He's not getting in the end zone, though.
I know. Maybe I just hate him. Maybe I love him too much that I have to hate him. You know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
Show me first. it's got to be a show me first thing. So,
that was a big rant for nothing.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it's a good point though. You know, like if you're on somebody at a higher salary and they're plummeting, you got to look at that angle and be like, okay, well, nobody's going to be on him.
And I think this is a good spot for him. So, we've talked about it all the time as far as tournaments are concerned. Capitalize on the recency bias. You know, if a guy is higher owned, go to him again the next week, because just because he's low owned doesn't mean he's not a good player. It just means that, you know, he didn't do what, everybody thought he was going to do. So yeah, I don't mind that at all. Let's go to the, wide receivers and the flex position here. You've got your names that we keep yelling out every single week for the Ticats, Tasker, Owens, Fantus, and Brandon Banks.
Yeah, Brandon Banks, man, that guy, two return touchdowns last week.
Yep.
Just had a massive game. And
yep, he was about the only good call I had last week.
You know, and Fantus, I think somebody ridiculed me last week. I think it's named was Keith.
Yeah.
In the pod. About Fantus. But
yeah.
I think I even messaged you on Slack. I'm camping and I'm sitting around the campfire. My wife's like, yeah, you want to start a fire so we can make some make some dinner? I was like, yeah, sure. And then I look at my lineup and I'm just like, oh shit, Fantu scored a touchdown already, and it was like 2 minutes into the game.
Yeah. I was on full on tilt from the very first kickoff last week, so it was not a fun week for me.
Fantu's and Owens, those are my safest ones in that receiving core for, like, if you want
to
play them in cash games. Yeah, because their salaries are not outrageous. 77 for Owens and 68 for Fantu's. I mean, Fantu's steady targets. He's had 7 catches in each of his first 3 games. I mean, that's as solid as you're looking for.
Yeah, and, you know, he's still got touchdown upside, yep. So... I mean, you've got a, I guess it's Montreal Alouettes team. Now, this is the lowest total. Montreal is favored by 1. The juice is on the under, and it's at a 47. So,
and the elephant.
We have to.
Yes, I think we got to talk about the elephants in the room for Montreal.
Go ahead.
Well, the way it's looking more and more is that Rakeem Cato is going to be the starting quarterback for Montreal. Kevin Glenn has had an eye inflammation, and he's missed practice yesterday, or Monday, Tuesday, and I haven't seen yet today if he has missed practice or not. I guess that's something.
Dude, it's 11 o'clock in the morning. They haven't practiced yet.
Yeah.
These Canadians, they don't get up and do anything early. And guys, before we get any, you know, you keep bashing on guys, I have Canadian blood in me. My grandmother's from Newfoundland. I have relatives up in Canada. That is why I take liberty on bashing on Canadians, is because I pretty much am half of a Canadian. So
this just from one of the Alouettes kind of inner circle Twitter feeds. It's like a fanfare for the Alouettes. Infected eye for Glenn. It could get better and he could play. Start, maybe not. They're not sure. Yeah, basically.
Somebody rubbed their butt on his pillow.
It was probably Cato, that slimy bastard. He probably got in there and he's like, I'm only 6,300. I want to start.
I'm surprised that doesn't go on. But yeah, Rakeem Cato, if you want to load up on, you know, Chris Williams, yeah, and, you know, Adarius Bowman and Chris White and all of them, you can make a good case for Rakeem Cato. However, the fact that the Hamilton Tiger Cats defense does have a little bit of competence, it makes it pretty scary as far as the turnover margins are concerned. They do have 2 fumble recoveries in their last 2 games. They've got 3 sacks on the year. They do have a defensive touchdown. They're not the highest priced defense for nothing.
Exactly.
They're good. They're not allowing the 30 plus points a game that we see from a lot of other people. They're only allowing 22.
Right.
Wait, was it 22? Hold on. Let me look. Yeah, they're only allowing around 22.7 points per game. So.
Yeah. And if you're, you know, if you say you plug Cato in and you put him with his defense, you know, because Montreal, I mean, this is a lower total.
You want to know how many rushing yards they've allowed on the road this year?
Who?
Hamilton.
It's not much, is it?
One
yard.
1 yard.
One goddamn hit.
Can you imagine, like, if you're the coach of the Tiger Cats defense, be like, son of a bitch, who allowed that hit?
They're all punished. They're all running laps around the stadium. Every yard you guys give up, you owe me 20 laps.
No kidding. Anyways, so yeah, this Tie Cats defense is good. I know they only get this would be your cash game type defense that you would be able to throw out. And the reason is because Montreal is probably going to be starting a backup quarterback.
Exactly. I mean,
so
even if you were to plug, well, never mind. I don't want to start Cato against Hamilton. But
yeah,
I mean,
if you're making 20 teams, even if you're making 20 teams for, and I don't mind throwing them in there, but you know, it's one of those things that I don't mind the Montreal defense in this game either. I think Jeremiah Masoli has a bounce back game, but I mean, when you're talking about having the ability to throw two interceptions in a game, I mean, he's
like Eli Manning that way.
Yeah, this dude is, and we've seen it since he's come out of college. He has the ability to rack it up and to just, I mean, the dude's averaging over 300 yards passing per game. Okay, so he's done very, very, very well. Unfortunately, he has the ability to suck as well, so.
Well, and there's, you know, there's more to this one. You know, if we're not sure if Daron Carter's going to play either.
That's going to be the big thing.
You know, it's his suspension with his appeal and everything's getting postponed or some shit. So he might get the play. He might not. I don't even think we're going to find out till tomorrow. Obviously after lock. So I think
you remember that DraftKings is a late swap.
Well, that's what I'm getting to with this is want to be the safest, I think the safest route would be to, if you want to try to get Cato in your lineup, but you're not sure yet, and you want to have a lineup for that possibility, I think you can put Cato in and then for a wide, you know, put Grigsby from Ottawa in maybe for your running back and then put in Williams from Ottawa so that you have those two tonight and everything else doesn't lock until later.
Yeah. And I don't mind going in and putting in Daron Carter because his salary is high enough to where
9,400, you know, I think.
Yeah. If you build a team around it, you can find a couple guys in this next game that, you can just pivot to. And we'll talk about the other
Carter,
elephant.
Keep Carter in your flex spot.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Please.
And that's a mistake that, you know, I've made twice already this year is guys with these slates being like 4 days, do not put your wide receivers that are going tonight, unless you're stacking up the damn game in your flex spots. Don't do it. Because you're limiting yourself so much on your late swap site, and we'll talk about this more when we get into NFL. But your latest starting player should be in your flex spots, whether that be if you're playing. I don't know why you would, especially this week. But if you're playing two running backs, and you're playing the running back from the last game, don't put him in your RB spot and put. Chris White in your flex, one of your flex spots, just flip them. That way, if something does happen, you're not limited on your selections on who you can swap out. It's a basic strategy that a lot of people don't even realize.
Oh, it gets really overlooked.
And it gets overlooked, and you can gain such an advantage.
Yep. Even in daily, even in your season-long leagues, you know, same strategy.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing applies.
Yeah.
If you have the flex spots.
Exactly. And you can gain such an advantage because, you know, especially since there's only one game a night and we're going over four nights, you know, you can sit there and you can start as we get into, you know, Saturday and you've got a couple spots left open, you can start making adjustments to go to, you know, possibly lower owned players by doing a lot of, especially in your head-to-heads. Your head-to-head, your cash games, you can go through and you can figure out, okay, what are the options and who do these people have left? Because I promise you, there's not going to be a lot of people that are going to be in cash games loading or playing a lot of players from these last two games, unless it's just extreme value. And I bet you you're going to find a lot of people putting, you know, running backs and wide receivers in these games.
Yeah, and you
in
might
those,
luckily,
in those spots and not your flex spots.
Yeah, you might luckily pivot yourself into a great play, too.
Yep.
Just because you were smart about how you constructed your rock.
Yeah. And excuse me. We'll get into that strategy a little bit later as far as NFL, but just to touch on it a little bit, one of the things I do like to do is if I've got what I like, a really, really, really good lineup, and I'll double up on it. And then if it's performing, and if I think like
tinker with one,
I'll tinker with one and I'll go safe on one, and then I'll take some risks on the other, you know. So I'll have a 2v2 swap there that I like in mind, and write down what you think your swaps, what you like as your swaps, because as you're building lineups, that stuff's fresh in your mind, and I promise you, you're going to forget on on Saturday.
Yep.
You'll forget. So just make sure you check and you look and you go through all that. So
last thing you want to do is be rushed, you know, when you're, because half the time you are, when you're doing those late swaps, you're super rushed, and then the wife's like, hey, did you do this? And you're like, son of a bitch, not right now. Or somebody calls you, so it's, you know, write it down like Keith said, and then you don't have to think about it later.
Yep. I've got no interest in anybody from Montreal. I don't have any interest picking on the number two defense in the league, so.
No, me either. I mean, I'm just double checking here, but I think, well, GPP-wise, Nick Lewis, a wide receiver from Montreal, but that's contingent on Carter as well. So I'm waiting on that news to come out, and we don't know yet, so.
Yeah. I'm got a CFL Twitter kind of loaded up here, and so let's go to the final game of the week, Saskatchewan. The Saskatchewan Saskatchewans.
The Rough Riders.
The Rough Riders.
Rough Riders!
In the house! Versus the BC Lions. The first thing that stands out to me is Durant for Saskatchewan.
I'm going to get so much shit from Walsh later. He's probably going to text me and be like, dude, Scotty, you're so hood up there in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Here's the problem is we've got one of the better passers in the CFL going against the best defense, statistics-wise, as far as yards allowed and matchup points per game. You're looking at a BC Lions defense that is not happy about what happened last week.
No, and I'm not either. They disappointed the hell out of me because they were, I mean, I had them and Hamilton for my defenses, I believe, last week, and I was so pissed about BC because there was even one of the lineups that I was sweating because I was doing really well in the Rouge, the big slate one, the whole slate, and I was in second place for the longest time. I was in 24th, and then back up the second, and then these teams just screwed me. Like, Roosevelt from Saskatchewan just laid a shit bed, and I'm not happy about it. But, I mean, I'm sitting at one of my lineups in that tournament at 800 and another one at, like, 50. I'm like, oh, this could be a good week. And then, yeah. I'm pissed at these two teams. But it is a new week, and, you know, I don't know which way this one's going to go, honestly. I really don't. I don't know which team is going to show up on either side.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things that you've got to kind of hope that you get. Let's get to it. It's basically, it's even money. The spread's at 50. You're talking about a BC team that can have trouble moving the ball at times, and that has me really, really, really kind of it sucks because I really, really, really don't want to take a chance on the Rough Riders defense, but I think that might be a very, very interesting GPP play. I know they're bad. They're next to last in the league. But this BC offense is not good.
Well, no, and you're getting, we don't even know who we're getting yet. Are we getting Jonathan Jennings or are we getting Travis Lule? I don't know which one. They're both similarly priced and they both are equally shitty. So, I mean, I'm not sure if they're going to hear it, but I don't really care.
This is what kind of scares me about it is because this BC – and this is why I'm so scared about this BC Lions defense is because they're so bad at offense, that just kind of makes me think that they get put in bad positions.
Yep.
I mean, come on. They've played three games. Do you want to know their passing yards per game?
Sure, I'd love to. I'd love
three.
It. 3 yards per game.
They're averaging 3 yards per game.
Holy shit. How do you manage that? I could do that.
Passing.
No, I know, but I could do that.
And they're averaging basically 112.3 yards per game in offense. Now, they are the best rushing offense in the league, but they're also – but that kind of – they're not good. So I really, really, really want to take a chance on this Rough Riders defense.
For cheap.
But they don't – exactly. But they don't create
– don't create the turnovers. They've got, what, one interception this year?
Well, part of it –
two fumble recoveries.
Yeah,
two sacks.
Part of it is – they've only played two games. Part of it is they allow so many yards or so many points, and I'm sitting there going, okay, something has to give. Something's got to give.
Well, this could be the week that it would because, I mean, they played Toronto and Edmonton, who are not bad teams.
No, they're not.
So yeah, at 4,500, I think I'm with you on that one for tournaments. I think they're going to be really low on defense too.
Yeah.
You might get some ownership on them just because people are like, well, it's CFL, punt the defense, who cares? But you know,
I don't think you will.
No.
No. Not with Montreal sitting right there at 46.
True. I was big on Montreal this week, but I don't even know that I really am. Because of that quarterback situation, you know, like we said. And
yep.
So, yeah, I like that Rough Riders play, actually.
Yeah, and I don't see anybody that I really, really, really – I mean, yeah, all your offensive plays are going to come from the Saskatchewan side of the ball. I think John Chiles is a good value. Sean Gore is a good value. Ricky Collins is a great value at $4,100.
Shamad Chambers.
Yep, Shamad Chambers. I think those are great, great, great values sitting there on the Saskatchewan side of the ball. I'm not picking on that Saskatchewan defense, not with anybody on the BC. Unless they are heavily involved in the return game, which for BC it looks like it's it was Jeremiah Johnson. Of course, that could, you know, you've got Chris Rainey.
That's about
the only one that I would even
consider. Yeah, but I don't even love it either.
I mean, Anthony Allen at 5,900 is probably your best bet just because of the fact that he's, you know, last week he had 16 attempts for 107 yards. Didn't get in the end zone as far as on the ground, but he still did have three receptions for 32 yards and, a touchdown.
But even that's up in the air, too, as far as what Jeremiah Johnson does this week, because he was on the one game IR and he's back this week, so I don't know how he's feeling. I don't know how much they'll use him, but it definitely cuts into my love for Allen.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I think that Jeremiah Johnson might be a good, you know, tournament play because nobody likes to play people coming off of injuries. But you know, it's kind of one of those things. You've got to kind of read it. This is where game theory comes in, and I am currently working, and it applies to MLB a lot as far as specifically, but you can still take some stuff out of it and apply it towards NFL and stuff like that. I'm working on some game theory stuff that it should be out tomorrow afternoon, It's a nice little game theory article. And it's this afternoon I will have a video out for our premium subscribers on daily routine and research and stuff like that. And you can basically just sub in and out any sport. So it'll be pretty cool. Let's go through some touchdowns here. And can't have anybody over 10,000.
Okay. I don't remember who I used last week.
Let's see here. I've got it wrote down.
I think I had Andrew Harris, and he didn't get in the end zone again. One of these days, it's going to break.
You had...
Did I have Fantus?
You had Harris, Fantus, and I forgot the defense.
Oh, yeah, the Tiger Cats D. I had that.
Yeah, you had... oh, wait, no, you had...
Yeah, I did, because I called the Tiger Cats D to get in the end zone, and then they did, so...
Yeah, I got mad because you took it. And I had Adarius Bowman and Darrell Walker. And I had the BC Lions defense, and that didn't work. So, yeah, anyways, let's go to this, and let's go through our touchdowns. Start off on, and for any of you guys that don't know the rules, what we're doing here is basically it's one defensive touchdown, and then it's two offensive players, and they cannot be over $10,000.
So does the defensive touchdown, does that count as – can you pick a – does the return guy count? So it has to be a defensive touchdown.
Yeah, it can be a return touchdown, but you can't pick the return player as one of your – you can't double dip here.
Okay.
You can't pick you can't pick Brad Banks.
But I could pick the Ticats D, but I picked them last week, so I can't pick them this week.
Yeah, exactly. You can't double up week back-to-back weeks.
So many rules.
It's real simple. Can't double up back-to-back weeks. No offensive players over 10,000.
I didn't know we were doing defense, so I just called the defensive one last week because I felt good about it. But
well, I know you felt good about it, and we started going in there. Okay. So
fair enough. Okay, well, I'll start it out. I think Fantus will get one. Did I say him last week?
Yes, you did.
Ah, shit. I'm flustered. Flustered. I'm going to go to Taquan Underwood. I think he gets in the end zone this week. He dropped one last week.
Yes, he did. That was tilting. So Taquan Underwood, I'm going to go with I'm gonna go with the Rough Riders defense.
Ooh.
That's how good he
feels about that, folks.
Yeah. They might be in a good 50-60% of my lineups.
Jace Davis. Winnipeg. Yep.
Let's see here. I'm going to go with... Damn, I can't go with Darrell Walker. I know what I could do. This is going to... I'm going to go with Namon Roosevelt.
Ooh. A week after he hosed me. I get it.
Yep.
I get it.
That's exactly
what... See what you did there?
Yep.
Oh, defense. I am going to go with Toronto. I think Harris is going to throw a pick six this week.
Ooh.
It's not going to hurt him, but I think it could happen this week. He's getting way too comfortable in there.
I could see that. I can see that. I'm going to go with... where did it go here?
I like the swing in the background. it's kind of like some extra music when it's quiet. I like it.
Dude.
It's like a little beam stuff.
I turned his music off. So I'm going to go with Darvin Adams.
Okay. That I could see happening as well. That does it, huh? I think we're through this
yep,
shit
show. Yep, that's going to do for it. All right, guys, make sure you check out a little bit later. It will be a video for premium subscribers on research routine, and you can just basically swap in and out every sport.
Get on Twitter.
Yeah, get on Twitter.
That's where you're going to see a lot of this news. Get on Twitter. Follow both Keith and I. What's your Twitter handle, Keith?
It's at BoomersDFSDaddy.
And mine is at Mr_Scani.
Yep.
Get in our Slack chat.
Yeah, get in the Slack chat. And if we find any news for CFL, we will gladly just throw it up there from Twitter. So
yeah, toss us your lineups. We don't want you to do something roster construction-wise, do it wrong. We want you to be in the best spot, too. So don't feel bad to send us your lineup and see what we think about it.
Yeah, no kidding. So that will be a fantastic thing, and we will catch at you later for the DFS Army. Make sure you check us out. Got a lot of great NFL stuff about to start hitting the way. Let's make sure that we have a great night, great week, and man, the struggle is real for all of my MLB folks, man. The struggle is real for them.
It's coming. It's coming back. Don't worry.
So, yep. Don't worry. We've got it coming. So, all right, guys, that's going to do it for us today. Make sure you check us out, and we will holler at you later.
Later.